go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Hi, I'm Peter Doan.
And I'm Leslie Doan.
And you're listening today to the radio broadcast, Go Rebuild My Church. Each week in this broadcast, we explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, and how this theme is relevant as we seek to bring renewal to the church today.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 14 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church.
You can learn more about our journey home and our lay apostolate dedicated to renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our prayer is through the ministry of this radio program and our lay apostolate, we can provide pathways for you to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal.
We want to welcome those listeners who are joining us for the first time. In our broadcasts, we look at the sacred scripture, excerpts from the catechism, the lives of our saints, and the teaching of the church as we seek to challenge individuals, families, and local parishes to rebuild and renew the Catholic faith here in America.
And last week, we just began a new series of broadcasts called Rebuilding Discipleship in the Catholic Parish. We believe the lifestyle and structure of discipleship is a key component for our church in our day and age. There's a verse in Scripture that I think is very relevant that I would like to share. Peter actually pointed it out to me. And Jesus said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who's become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings out of his treasure things new and old." And this is from Matthew 13:52. So we're hoping to rediscover some of those treasures of discipleship, aren't we, Peter?
Yes, Leslie, as we continue to focus on the mystical revelation given to St. Francis of Assisi when the Lord said to him, "Francis, go and rebuild my church, which as you see is in ruins." Now we're tracing this ancient structure of discipleship, and we're declaring that now more than ever in our 21st century, the call to become disciples has never been more needed. The Great Commission, remember, says this, "Go therefore and make disciples of the nations." We always look to the areas to be rebuilt that are also being emphasized by other thought leaders in the Catholic Church. In other words, Leslie and I are not just kind of going into the air and kind of wondering what we should talk about next. We're really trying to take cues by what the Lord is saying through many thought leaders in our church today. In this last decade, we Catholics have been hearing this call to discipleship that is very new to most of us, but again, very ancient in its origin. In our next several broadcasts, we'll be looking at this area in the life and structure of the Catholic parish that needs to be recovered, renewed, rediscovered, and revived.
That's a lot of R's.
Yes.
Well, in our first segment today, I think it would be helpful to summarize for our listeners who weren't able to join us last week our discussion. And we laid some important groundwork that leads us into what we are calling the seven pillars of Catholic discipleship. So, Peter, help refresh us on some of the key takeaways from our last broadcast.
So, first, we acknowledge that there's been a prophetic call to the American Catholic Church. And it started, I believe, with Sherry Waddell, and I credit Sherry Waddell as being instrumental, used by the Holy Spirit, to bring the call of discipleship to the foreground and the church's attention. Her book, Forming Intentional Disciples, was published in 2012. And she mentioned in the introduction, Leslie, that there was a great chasm in the American church. And she said that chasm is one word, discipleship. And then further on in the introduction, she mentioned that this chasm is really not on the radar of most pastoral leaders in most parishes.
Yes, she's very concerned that most Catholics had not moved past the initial stages of their faith to becoming a true disciple.
Exactly. Then, with the election of Pope Francis in 2013, he wrote his first apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium, The Joy of the Gospel. And in paragraph number 20, he said, go forth from our own comfort zones to become missionary disciples for Christ.
And that's really the word that we've been hearing across the church, to become missionary disciples.
Yes, it is.
Well, last week we also discussed how discipleship is represented in the Old Testament and how Isaiah actually had a group of disciples. It says in Isaiah 8:16 that to tie up the scroll as legal evidence, seal the official record of God's instructions, and give it to my disciples. The Hebrew term used here for disciple means to learn or instruction. It indicates that disciple might have had or probably did have a circle of disciples who he personally instructed and who helped to spread his teaching. Mm-hmm. But Peter, also you shared a quote from D.W. Watts. He's an Old Testament scholar, and he seems to indicate that Isaiah wanted to deposit his treasure of warnings and teachings with his disciples. And that is, he gathered around himself certain men who would pass his teachings on to others.
Yes. And going along with that, Leslie, in Isaiah, as you mentioned, in Isaiah 50, the scripture says that God wakes his servant every morning and gives him attentiveness as a disciple so that he can listen and learn. Now, these chapters are very important in Isaiah because they prophetically look forward to the suffering servant because it pictures Jesus in his human nature as a disciple to the Father. And I love that verse in chapter 4 that says, the Lord God has given to me the tongue of a disciple, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple.
Right. Jesus modeled discipleship for us.
Yes. Amen to that. So throughout all of Judaism, as we're speaking here, there were people called disciples. People were committed to a recognized leader or movement, and it involved Jewish adherence to philosophical schools or to religious and political sects. The Pharisees apparently also had their disciples that were referred to in the Gospel of John.
Yes, it is referred to in the scriptures, so we kind of learn about how they had different groups of disciples.
Right. And of course, John the Baptist also had his disciples, didn't he, who lived with him and followed him and practiced some of his ascetic lifestyle and propagated his teachings. So in the time of Jesus, Leslie, after a boy was 13 years of age, if he wanted further training and preparation of being a judge, a teacher, a scribe, or the head of a synagogue, he might seek to study as a disciple under scholars. And of course, St. Paul was an example of this as a Jewish boy who left his home in Tarsus and studied under the great teacher Gamaliel.
Well, to sum it up, we can see all throughout Greek and Jewish culture, there are examples of discipleship with people committed to following a great leader, emulating his life and passing on his teachings. But we noted last week that personal discipleship meant much more than just the transfer of information or knowledge. It also referred to imitating the teacher's life, internalizing his values, and reproducing his teachings, which is very different from today in the role of a teacher or professor that we see in our context today.
Yes, and leading up to Jesus, there's a wonderful verse that I've always loved that gives an overview of the kind of discipleship Jesus initiated when he called the disciples. It said he called them that they might be with him, Leslie. That was all about relationship, and he redefined discipleship in the eyes of the kingdom of God.
Okay, so we are going to take a short break now, and when we return, we will discuss the first pillar of Catholic discipleship, encounter Jesus Christ.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
An interview with Father Trenton Rauch and his story on how Catholic radio influenced his vocation.
I was not struck by lightning and knocked off my horse. I had a lot of time driving in the car listening to the radio, and I just gotten to a point where I would prefer to listen to something that would be intellectually stimulating. And at the same time, I was learning about the faith, particularly the apologetics.
Catholic radio, building faith, building vocations.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today, we are discussing our new series of broadcasts, Rebuilding Discipleship in the Catholic Parish. We believe there are seven pillars that are foundational to becoming a Catholic disciple. And the first pillar we want to present today is Encounter Jesus. This is where discipleship must begin, and it is the launching pad.
Yes, Leslie. And recently, Bishop Barron, who we love and we speak of him often here, has recently been emphasizing this point and encouraging Catholics that having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is central to our faith and is not a Protestant evangelical dynamic only. It's Catholic. He points out that our life of faith must first begin with conversion, a deep encounter with Jesus Christ. The bishop says this, conversion is not just a one-time event, but an ever-deepening process of growing closer to Jesus until we finally and fully are united with him and his will. He uses six biblical stories that demonstrate how those who met God were forever changed and their lives, the rest of their lives, lived in service to the Lord's plan and mission. And he talks about blind Bartimaeus, the rich young ruler, Matthew, Jonah, the woman at the well, and the journey and the Magi, all wonderful stories about conversion. And by exploring these stories, Bishop Barron helps Catholics come to a deeper understanding of the dynamics of conversion in our own lives and how to discern God's call and how to overcome obstacles that have been answering that call and the fruit of saying yes to God.
Well, Peter, I know we want to emphasize Bishop Barron here because he's a thought leader in the church. He speaks prolifically, and he's certainly confirmed to us as Catholics the importance of that encounter with Jesus and how that is the beginning for each of us on our journey toward becoming disciples. Mm-hmm. So, listeners, if you'd like to learn more about this series, you can find it on the Word on Fire website under Studies. It's a 7-part DVD series titled Conversion, Following the Call of Christ.
Right. Amen. And so Bishop Barron does go on to say, Leslie, the first words Jesus speaks early in the gospel to Mark are, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And here we see God's order and way of doing things, don't we? He's made real the very person of Jesus Christ. And that word repent is a very poignant word in the Greek. It's the word metanoia that means to change your mind and also change your actions both. The bishop goes on to say, we sinners live within the narrow confines of our ego sometimes, focusing on our own plans and our own objects. And I like this next part, Leslie. He says this, the spiritual masters say this is living in the small soul. That's an interesting idea, the small soul. Rather, he says, with the masters, the spiritual masters, said that when you're converted, we give our life to Jesus Christ, we begin to live in the great soul. When you're linked to Jesus Christ, he said, you're linked to the great power that is in here and now, creating a whole universe, which means you're linked to everything and everyone else.
Well, Peter, one of our favorite conversion stories is that of St. Paul. And as Saul, I thought this was interesting, he had a pretty big ego, didn't he? And he was focused on his own plans to persecute the new believers.
Yeah, he was a small soul at that time,
right,
for sure.
Well, Acts 9 records the account of his dramatic encounter with Jesus, where he had a complete turnaround. He truly changed his whole mind and actions at that point. And talk to us a little bit about what we can learn from this first pillar of discipleship from St. Paul's encounter.
So I've been meditating and studying and reflecting on St. Paul's conversion for decades, Leslie. And I've realized that there's seven key aspects to his conversion that affects all of us in our personal encounters and conversion. We can learn from what happened to him in and through his conversion. So let's talk a little bit about that for the rest of our time together. Number one, his conversion teaches us that our journeys are unique and the Lord meets us in our circumstances. So as Paul journeyed, or as Saul at that time, of course, journeyed, it says suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. So on each of our journeys, which are personal to you and me, the Lord has his suddenlies. Just as he suddenly showed a light to Paul, we have our suddenlies when it comes to our encounter with Jesus Christ. I can remember, Leslie, when I was 9 years old, the lights went off in the physical realm, but the lights came on spiritually, and the Lord revealed himself to me. I had one of those suddenlies in my life, and I saw Jesus Christ crucified on the cross like no picture that I'd ever seen at church before, because in that picture, he was totally naked, and you could hardly recognize him because he was so disfigured. I learned later in Isaiah 53 that that's exactly how Isaiah prophesied that he would be when he was crucified. The second part that we learn, the second point of Paul's conversion is this: our Lord's intervention will indeed humble us. It's interesting that when Paul was converted, it says that he fell to the ground. And that symbolically speaks to us that humility is our first response to an encounter with Jesus Christ. God calls us to humble ourselves. This opens up a dialogue between the Lord and us, but can only happen in humility. And I was thinking about our Blessed Mother, Leslie, that when the angel Gabriel appeared to her, and gave her this amazing message. And she, in her response, said, "Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to thy word." So her yes, that fiat that we always talked about, she said she was doing it as a handmaiden, as a servant. In other words, she was humbling herself in this encounter with Jesus Christ herself. Then thirdly, it says, or I believe, the scripture teaches us through Paul's conversion that the Lord will give us direction, something to do to confirm that yes that we make when we say yes to the Lord. Saul was led, it says, to the street called Straight right after his conversion by those traveling companions with him. The Lord will often send us someone about our experience to tell our experience once we do have that encounter. And I can remember myself when the Lord first brought me to himself and I encountered him in college, just a couple days after that encounter, I was at a party. And unfortunately, during that period of time, there was a lot of drugs and drinking going on in my circle. And someone came up to me and said, "You know, Peter, I've been doing drugs and drinking at this party, and it seems like everyone is hallucinating to me, but for some reason, your face is not hallucinating." And I said, "Mark, 2 nights ago, I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and I think that's what you're seeing."
Wow, that's a pretty amazing testimony. Okay, listeners, we're going to take another break now, and when we return, we'll continue to discuss how St. Paul's encounter with Jesus Christ and his conversion teaches us about the beginning of becoming a disciple and what we need to do to respond to our encounter with Jesus Christ. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Are you a still being? Maybe in motion, but not going anywhere. Maybe it's time to try being still. We help you focus on what's most important. Catholic Radio Indy.
You're listening to the radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today, we are discussing the call to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. We have seen the first step to becoming a disciple of the Lord is a deep, personal encounter with him. That encounter must lead us to conversion. We also discuss Bishop Barron's emphasis on conversion and how it is a change of mind and actions. And it's not just a one-time event, but an ever-deepening process of growing closer to Jesus until we become fully mature. We're now in the middle of discussing how St. Paul's encounter with Jesus and conversion that's chronicled in Acts chapter 9 is actually a model for all of us. We learn that conversion is always personal and tailored to what we need. It humbles us, it brings us to our knees, and it involves direction for our lives, something we need to do to confirm our yes. So, Peter, what else can we learn from this powerful event in St. Paul's encounter with our Lord?
Yes, the fourth dynamic we learn from St. Paul's encounter and conversion is this. After the encounter, we will need a disciple to help us be led on our journey. We'll need older brothers and sisters in Christ to help us along. There was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias that the Lord sent to Paul, remember, to give him truth and leadership. In the scripture, Leslie, a lot of places tells us that there's stages of growth in the Christian life. In 1 John, John talks to three categories of people. He speaks to children, he speaks to the young men, I think that would include the young women also, and then also to fathers. And those are three stages of development that John is pointing out to us in his epistle. Also, in the book of Hebrews, it says that we need milk. As the book of Hebrews tells us, we need someone to help us know the basics, to lay the foundation of our faith. When the Lord called me to himself, initially back in college, he sent several older Christians to steer me in the right direction. There was Roland, there was John, there was John the dentist, there was Gary and Dolores, and there was Derek and Bob. These were all older Christians that really helped me in my early days of conversion.
Well, I had the same experience after I made a definite commitment to follow the Lord and had an encounter with Jesus. The Lord sent to me Janice Manto, and she really taught me the basics of my faith. Even though I was brought up Catholic, Peter, she taught me how to live out my commitment to Christ at that time in my life. Mm-hmm. And also there was a group of women that I lived with that were Christians that were further along in the journey than I was, and they did the same thing.
The fifth dynamic we see in Paul's conversion is this. We're told that we must suffer indeed if we are to follow the Lord. Remember, the Lord said to Paul through Ananias, tell Paul that he's going to suffer. I'm going to show him how much he'll suffer for me. When Paul was on his first missionary journey, he continued to share this with new believers. He said, after they proclaimed the good news to the city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and then on to Iconium and Antioch. There they strengthened the souls of the disciples and encouraged them to continue in the faith, saying, it is through many persecutions that we must enter the kingdom of God. And these were young believers, Leslie. These weren't mature, but even in their initial stages, he's saying to these youngest believers that they would be persecuted as disciples.
Well, Peter, just like you, when I had that encounter with Jesus and really was converted to follow him all the days of my lifestyle changed. And I started to read the Bible every day, go to Bible study. There was just a dramatic change in my life. And I had made arrangements to move in with a couple of women, and they were going to be my roommates the coming year. And they came to me and they said they no longer wanted to room with me that following a year. They said I would cramp, quote unquote, cramp their style. And this was a form of persecution. I was not being treated well by people that I considered friends because of my faith. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's something that I think is really a challenge for a lot of our young Catholic adults going to college right now. It's just the types of persecution they undergo for their faith.
And we don't talk about it enough, for sure. The sixth dynamic that we learn from Paul's encounter in conversion is this. The Lord gives us marching orders. The Lord told Saul this, for you, he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he suffers, will suffer for my name's sake. He does not leave us hanging, Leslie, when we encounter him. He gives us divine guidance. After I graduated from college, right after I had met the Lord, I had a situation where I had to choose between going into a drug ministry of ministering to those that were addicted to drugs, or returning to my college and begin to minister there. And through a series of events, the Lord really showed me to return to my college. I'm glad he did, because that's where I met you, Leslie, after that.
I'm glad he did too.
Yes. The seventh and final dynamic that we learned from St. Paul is the Lord will use our encounter with Jesus Christ and our conversion story to testify and lead others to become disciples as well. St. Paul in Acts 9, we see his conversion story. Then he tells it again in Acts 22. He tells it in Acts 26 before King Agrippa. And finally, he's reminding the Galatian Christians in Galatians chapter 2 about his conversion story as well.
Well, one of the things I really liked about RCIA in the church where we served, where you served on staff, was their day of reflection. And in every day of reflection, they would have someone come in and share a conversion story. It was really important to the RCIA program that people would not just be joining the church. They wanted people to encounter Jesus as well. And I had the privilege of telling my conversion story at RCIA Day of Reflection. It was really special.
Yes, I can definitely remember that, Leslie. And it was an important part of teaching those wanting to become Catholic that things needed to start with what we're talking about today, encounter Jesus Christ and be converted. Okay, well, let's pray over these things that we're talking about today, Leslie, for ourselves and for our listeners. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we ask that you would give us hearts that seek to encounter you, not just initially, but just regularly in our walk with you. Cause our conversions to become ongoing conversions. And please take these things that you did with St. Paul and allow us to experience them as well in our conversions. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, thank you, listeners, for joining us today as we seek to connect you as individuals, your families, and parishes to the rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic faith here in America. And please make sure to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye for now, and
keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.